Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. Today you can turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. And this is our 14th study in the book of Matthew. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 13, 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And the house probably belonged to Peter. In verse 2 it says, "And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore." Jesus is down by the beach, and he is using a boat for a stage. In verse 3 it says, "And he spoke many things to them in parables." Parables are stories that paint a picture in the listener's mind. They are stories about everyday common things that illustrate hard-to-grasp spiritual things. Now, the parables in chapter 13 that we're going to look at describe the church age. The last part of verse 3. He said, "Behold, a sower went out to sow." Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony grounds, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the explanation of this first parable will be given by Christ, beginning in verse 18, so I will not comment on it until we hear what Jesus has to say. 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." No one who studied the Old Testament expected the Messiah to be nailed to a cross, nor did anyone foresee the church age. The purpose of these parables is to reveal the mystery form of the kingdom, that is, the church age. 12. "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance." The disciples received and believed everything Jesus had taught thus far. That means they have a measure of truth. And since their hearts are open to truth, they will get even more. See, the parables will click and provide them with more truth. The parables will add to the volume of truth that the disciples already have. Let's read 12 again. "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But to whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Truth is like a muscle. If you don't love the truth and apply the truth and use the truth, then you will lose it. In other words, that particular truth that you once understood and believed will become meaningless to you. 13. "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. And they will never understand truth because their hearts have become calloused, is what Jesus is saying. See, each time a person willfully rejects the truth of God's word, it is as if a layer of spiritual cataract grows over their soul. And if they reject truth enough times, they will end up spiritually blind. At that point, they no longer reject truth. They simply can't see it. They can't perceive it or recognize it. And that is what happened to the Pharisees. That's why the parables are going to seem like nonsense to them, but they're going to be eye-opening stories to the apostles. 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. For centuries many godly people prayed that they would be alive when the Messiah arrived. But the disciples and the people of that generation were the blessed ones. How privileged they were. They got to see the Messiah. They got to listen to his words and see his miracles. Verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. Two things need to happen before the word of God can register in a person's soul. First, the listener must have a hunger for truth and a willingness to receive it. Second, the word of God must be given out in a clear, straightforward, simple way. If those two things aren't there, then the devil will snatch the word off the listener's heart before they can figure out what it even means. 20. But he who received seed, or the seed, on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. These people hear the word, and they receive it with joy. They have a very strong emotional response. They're told that Jesus is the Son of God, and they say, yes, I believe it. They're told you must receive him, and they say, yes, I do receive him. But you know what? You could also tell them that aliens have landed, and they want to save the world, and they would say, wow, that's great. I believe that too. All surface level with these people. 21, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. No root means that the word of God tickled his mind and his emotions, but he never took it to the next level. He never really repented and turned his life over to Christ. As a result, there's really no relationship with Jesus. He was excited on a surface level. Verse 21 again, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. I mean, if there was no persecution for saying he belonged to Christ, this person would keep calling himself a Christian. But the moment someone gives him a hard time, he backs off. Disowns Jesus. In other words, his acceptance of Christ was based on feelings. And the moment bad feelings overshadowed good feelings, he walked away from Jesus. 22. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becomes unfruitful. These people agree that they must receive Christ, and they plan on it. But not right now. You know, they have to get their master's degree first, and then, you know, they'll get serious about Christ, or they have to take care of this or that. But you know what? There's never enough time. There's always a new project. Jesus is always placed on the back burner. 23, but he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And these are the ones who hear God's word and actually repent and ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. Their faith is real because it's accompanied by spiritual fruit. In other words, these people display Christian character. 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared." The wheat in this parable represents true Christians. The weeds represent those who say they are Christians, but they really aren't. 27. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" Someone hated the farmer, and someone wanted to choke off his wheat. An enemy planted weeds to mess up the farmer's good crop. The farmer's servants wanted to pull the weeds out right away. 29. But he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." This farmer knew his business. There are certain weeds that will wrap their roots around the roots of wheat. That makes it impossible to pull the weeds out without destroying the entire crop. When the time is right, they'll cut down the plants with a sickle. After that, they'll separate the good from the bad. 31. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And indeed, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. A mustard seed, which is very tiny, can grow to be 12 or 15 feet high in just 1 year." Jesus is saying the church will experience tremendous growth. Verse 33. Another parable he spoke to them. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened." Jesus is warning that evil and false doctrine will attempt to penetrate and permeate his church like yeast through dough. Yeast in Scripture is symbolic of evil, and so that is exactly what he is saying. Jesus is warning us that there will be inward corruption in his church, as well as outward persecution. 34. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." The Old Testament people didn't foresee the church age. God, of course, knew that it would happen. It was part of his sovereign plan all along. And again, the purpose of these parables was to reveal this present church age, which had been hidden to everybody except God. 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." Jesus had been telling the parables to the crowd, and they all listened, but no one in the crowd said, "Could you explain the parables?" The disciples were the ones who were hungry for truth, so they pursued it. 37. He answered and said to them, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." Remember that the good seed refers to saved people. The wheat refers to saved people. Jesus is the one who saves people. And we can't do it through cleverness or entertainment or trying to be cool in the eyes of the world or by force. All we can do is give out the Word of God. 38. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. Satan has a counterfeit for everything that God has, and he has a counterfeit for everything that God does. God saves souls through Jesus Christ. God makes Christians. Satan comes along and plants people in the church who look like and talk like and to some degree act like Christians but are not. 39. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. Satan is the enemy. He opposes all that is good. He opposes the church because it is good. So it says in verse 39, the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. The end of the age refers to the end of the period between the crucifixion of Christ and his return. Remember what Revelation teaches. The angels will return with Christ, and Jesus will send those angels throughout the world to gather up and punish those who reject God. 40. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. An evildoer is one who practices lawlessness. It's somebody who practices sin. And again, what you have here is false Christians. That is what this is referring to. A person who practices sin is a weed, not wheat. It is a false Christian, not a real Christian. If you practice sin, that is what you are, a false Christian, if you call yourself a Christian at all. This ought to be a wake-up call to any professing Christian who lives in sin and still thinks they're okay. The Son of Man will send out his angels, verse 41 says, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those that practice lawlessness. 42, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And here you see what will happen to people who say they are Christians but are not. Here you see the end of those who cause trouble in the church and lead real Christians astray. Jesus paid for the church with his death on the cross. And Jesus is the one who says that false Christians who corrupt his church will be tormented in eternal fire. 43, we'll stop with this. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The really good times are out there in the future for Christians. After those who call themselves Christians but stir up trouble and cause divisions and corrupt the fellowship of the church are taken away, God's people will be able to enjoy good times with each other and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll stop there for today. And we'll begin our study next time in verse 44. Until then, so long, everyone.